Good morning, Hillcrest. I want to thank Matt Walls up here. It's his first Sunday up here. Give him a hand on acoustic guitar. Always love having new people join us and display their talents or skills for the worship of God. Just a really cool thing. A little housekeeping before we get started. Today is a benevolent offering Sunday. The plate that's passing right now is not the benevolent offering. That's just our normal offering. We do take a benevolent offering for the under-resourced in our community every third Sunday of the month, which is this Sunday. We take it at the end of the service. And the way we've kind of designed the end of the service, we're not going to announce that at the end, but our intelligent ushers are going to come forward at the closing song. The lighting will be a little brighter for you to be able to prepare and take that offering. Once the plates go past while we're singing that last song, the lights will go back down and we'll finish up with that last worship song. So you have been forewarned. When the ushers come by next time, it'll be the benevolent offering. So you can feel free to prepare that now or whatever you need to do in order to do that. Let's see. I'm going to start this service a little different than I have before. I'm going to talk to you about modern rolled toilet paper. Modern rolled toilet paper was invented in 1883. And now you might think that's a long time ago, but think how many centuries we lived prior to 1883. And I think from that day forward, from 1883 on, the world has definitely rejoiced. Before toilet paper, yes, we are going there today, each great society had their own method of. You know, now that I'm doing this live, the words I've written here just don't seem, let's say, taking care of business. How's that? We'll just add that in. Taking care of business, right? Taking care of, you know what I mean, right? Kids, if you don't, have a conversation with your parents later. They'll explain all this to you. In some places, only the rich could afford using soft materials like wool, lace, or hemp. For others, using one's hand was not unusual. When and where you live determine the types of material available to you for this dirty duty. Pun intended. Materials ranged from plants like grass, leaves, hay, or moss, to more, I would say, more unimaginable things like wood chips, stones, seashells, corn cobs, and fruit skins. Anything handy and disposable seemed like it was a worthy candidate for this job. Ancient Romans, by the way, as I researched. Yeah, I know. This all is going to show up on my church database of what I've been looking at on the computer. Ancient Romans famously used a relatively sophisticated sponge and stick method that they stored and disinfected in vinegar after each use so it was ready for the next person. Ancient Jewish societies that Jesus was a part of reportedly kept small bags of pebbles, dry grass, or smooth pieces of broken pottery expressly for this purpose. It must come as quite a relief when finally paper became the world's standard. And so with this history in mind, I am going to give you the top five toilet papers today. Here's the list. Silk and Soft, Charmin Ultra Strong, Kirkland Signature, Cottonelle Ultra, Comfort Care, Quilted Northern Ultra Plush. Now, these are the top five. In the survey or the data, the research that was done, there were over 40 brands of toilet paper included. So these are the top five brands. Now you might say, well, what kind of research was done? This is what it was done. This was judged in a lab on softness, strength, breakage, perforation, meaning how well each square tore off, absorbency, value, and finally, enjoyability. I have discovered in my research that this is actually a passionate issue for a lot of people, maybe for a good reason. So, without further ado, what do you think is the fifth in this list, the least of the five, knowing that these five, of course, are the top five of all toilet papers. Where would you put it? Who would you put it in fifth place?
Absolutely not number one.
Okay, so for those of you that aren't aware, that's Vaughn. He is our elder in area finance. His last name is Kirkland, but has no connection that I know of. He'd have a bigger house or something. Well, let's see. What is it? Number five is? That's right, Kirkland's signature. Maybe that's why you don't have a bigger house. Step it up. I don't know what the issue was. Absorbency, maybe? I don't know. All right, let's see. Which one came in fourth place? Silk and soft, made from bamboo. Seriously. How does that even make it to four? Toilet paper made from bamboo. Would you buy it? Is anyone using this? You've never even seen it? Number four. Yeah. Put a little bamboo in your bathroom. All right. Number three is Charmin Ultra Strong with those commercials with very uncomfortable bears. Have you seen the one where the little pieces are stuck on the bear? No, I'm serious. This has got to be the worst commercials ever for Charmin. Yes, but it's Charmin Ultra Strong. That took third place. Let's see who came in second place. Quilted Northern Ultra Plush. Man, you could like upholster your car in this stuff. It is so soft. But that is only number two, which leaves the number one toilet paper in the world. Cottonelle Ultra Comfort Care. Now, my wife, in fact, I didn't even tell her I was doing this because she had to try to talk me out of it. But if you come to our house, you will find Cottonelle Ultra Comfort Care in our restrooms because we care. Yeah, Hy-Vee, it does go on. Is this what you get? Is this in the Stroh house? This is the pastoral choice of toilet paper. Just so you know. Oh. Anybody know why the toilet paper was rolling down the hill? To get to the bottom. All right, before this message goes in the toilet, let's move on. I just heard Burke's. I want to see how he makes a connection to this. I'm not. top five. That's the connection. Because this series, we are going through my top four verses. And so each week, I've started with some odd top five. And I don't know why this one interested me so much, but it did. Hey, thank you, buddy. So week one, as we looked at these top verses, we talked about a little word if. This idea, if we will confess, if we take our walk with Christ seriously, if. That there's this crossroad that we're on with this word if. And if we choose this, the benefits that come, the forgiveness that comes, the wholeness in life that comes. And so we looked at this passage out of 1 John 1, 9. If. Last week, we looked at a verse that talks about how God gets things done, and that it's not us, but it's God who provides. It's not just us, but it's God's work, his miracle. Now, he does ask us to get on board, and when that time comes, we've got to do that. Which brings me to next week's message, which is my number one top verse. This is my life verse we're going to talk about next week, in which we're going to look at our role versus God's role. And the part about when it is time to get going, what that looks like and what God's role is in that with us and our walk with him. So we'll talk about that next week. But today, we're going to look at a verse that comes right after the most famous verse in the scriptures. And I say famous, and this is just by like People's Choice Award, All right? If the Bible had a People's Choice Award for verses, this would be it, because you see this verse everywhere. You see this plastered up all over the place. You see people with signs holding it up. So much so that they don't even have to put the text. They just put the reference. Sometimes not even the book name, but just the chapter and verse will let people know, if they've never even read the Bible, they'll see that and they'll know that there is some spiritual topic trying to be emphasized. What is the verse? John 3:16, yeah. Most of you, if you know a Bible verse, this is the verse that you know. John 3:16, in various translations and ways of saying the verse. But the verse that we're going to be looking at comes right after John 3:16. It's John 3:17, which is one of my top verses. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't like John 3:16. Don't hear what I'm not saying. A great verse, a verse that describes and communicates the salvation process, which is hugely important, and it's why it is so popular, because it is so clear, it is so concise, it is direct and to the point. So we're going to look at both of these verses, because you really need John 3:16 to understand why 3:17 is such a significant and important verse to me. John 3:16 says this. It says, "For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." God loves the world. All of his creation. There is nothing that you can remove from creation as something he doesn't love. Because God loved the world. Everything that he made. Because he's the creator of it. So put, your Uncle Bill out of the mix, or, your mother-in-law out of the mix. Whatever it might be for you, some friend, someone that hurt you down the line, some terrible person in the news today, you have to understand that God loves all of his creation, the whole thing, the ones that we think are worthy and the ones that we think are not worthy. The ones that when we meet them or we know about them or we hear their stories, we say, that person's going to heaven. And when we meet here or about another individual, we say, that person's got to be going to hell. He loves his entire creation, both sides, the good, the bad. Okay? The rain and the sunshine fall on them all. He loves them all. This is important for us to remember, because he doesn't just love a few of us. God does not just love the good ones. God does not just love Christians. God does not just love those that are worthy somehow. In other words, there are no people created for hell. When God created humanity, he didn't say, these are saved and these are not. Everyone he loves equally. God loves the whole world. That he gave his one and only son. Everyone in creation is loved by God. And he loves him so much that he came to earth in the form of a man named Jesus. And Jesus died by his choice. Life wasn't taken from him. He's very clear. He says, I have given my life. So that we would not die as a result of our sin, but would be forgiven. This is the good news. And if we receive this, if we accept this, if we believe in Jesus and his sacrifice, we have eternal life. If you're following along with your fill-ins, salvation is a gift and not a wage. Hey, guys in the back, am I controlling this or are you just faking me out? I am? Awesome. Salvation is a gift and not a wage. Let that soak in for a second. See if you can tell the difference between those. Salvation from God is a gift and it's not a wage. In other words, a wage would be, if I'm good, I get to go to heaven. That's a wage. If I'm righteous, I go to heaven. If I this, if I that, if I this, if I that, if I produce, then Heaven is a wage that I earn. It's like payment. It's like a check. And I know some of you right now, because this is so ingrained in us in our society, is that it has to be a wage, right? And it's not. The scriptures are clear. You can't earn it, right? You know that as a Christian. You say, yep, I can't earn my salvation. But I earn it because I'm good, because I'm righteous, because I go to church, because I bring my kids to church, because I don't do this thing or that thing. It's because of what I don't do and because of what I do. Well, we're just going to use second service again. But that's why salvation is not, it's not a wage. You can't earn it. There's nothing I can do to earn it. It is literally a gift. It's something that I've not earned. It's not something I can somehow obtain on my own. There's nothing I can do to get it. It is a gift that's given to me. And so I have a choice to receive it or not receive it. I choose to receive that gift or I reject that gift. Just like at Christmas time, I mean, it's pretty rare, but certainly you give someone a gift, right? And they have a choice to either receive that gift or reject it. It's a gift, but we treat it like it's a wage. We treat it like somehow you're earning your salvation. And I want you to know that if that thought is in your head at all, it is completely wrong. It has nothing to do with the scriptures. Because God said that he loved the whole world, that anyone who will believe will not perish but have eternal life. It's a gift given, not because of something you've done, but because of what who has done. Because of what Jesus has done. This is central, this is key to our understanding our Christian faith. And this is why John 3:16 is such a significant and important verse within the scriptures, because it clearly communicates that there is no way to salvation but through Christ. There is nothing you can do, nothing you can do to earn it. It's not about earning, it's about the gift that is given. Salvation is a gift and not a wage. When Christ hung, and when Christ bled, and when Christ died, it was God saying to the world, I love you. Because you are unable to save yourself. So this is why this is such a popular verse. Can't get any clearer than John 3:16. Can't get any simpler than this. You don't need any verses to add to this, and you don't need any qualifiers. When you start to read the Bible, you will learn very quickly that it is not about you. This life is not about you. Even your journey of faith is not as much about you as we like to think it is. It's about what God did for us and what we do to the world around us and in our relationship to God as a result. No man is excluded from calling upon God. No woman is excluded from calling upon God. No person is excluded from calling upon God. The gate of salvation is open to all people. There is nothing else to hinder us from entering but our own unbelief. It is our choice. There is a dangerous theology that is circling around in many churches today. And I've talked about this before, and if you're interested in more information, I can get it for you or direct you to some of those messages that are recorded that you can listen to. But it is a more of a Reformed or Calvinistic theology. A theology that says people are created for hell and that God created people for heaven. That is not true. There are verses in which people can twist those ideas, but God loves all, and all have the ability to receive Jesus Christ. No one is created for damnation. All are created to be in relationship with God. The problem has been is that people, when they look at salvation, and even as they look at a passage like John 3:16, or they look at different theologies like Calvinism or Reformed theology, they portray God as a vengeful, angry, and destructive God that is looking for you to mess it up somewhere, some way, and then he's going to strike you down because you messed up, especially if you mess up on purpose. But even if you accidentally mess up, if you don't mean to, but you do, or it's something random that you end up doing, or a moment of weakness, that mess up, that failure, that sin condemns you, and God is just looking to send you to hell. We fear that we will never measure up to God's standards. Well, that's true. And we act like there's some cosmic or divine bolt of lightning ready to strike us, whether it's a deliberate sin or an accidental sin. We see salvation as a result of a cosmic scale of some sort, where all our good is placed on one side of the scale, all our bad is placed on the other side of the scale, and which way it tips on our dying breath determines our direction. As much as Christendom says this is not the way, as much as reading the scriptures will not support this idea, this is the main thought in Western Christianity today. Though they'll say, verbally, it's not true, the way they live, think, and act portrays this to be the truth. That God is somehow weighing it all, and how the scales tip at the end is what the end result is. The Bible does not teach this. But Christians believe and act this way. And it is why we need verse 17. Because with 16 alone, you can have this twisted view in some way. But verse 17 makes it about as crystal clear as it can be. And I need 16. I need the truth of 16. But that's really drilled into me in the Christian culture. I get it. All are saved. Salvation is available to all people. I'm on board with that. 17 is the thing I need reminding of on a daily, weekly basis in my life. Let's take a look at verse 17. You guys are on back there because this thing looks like that. Oh, it just popped up. I'm not trusting it though. Verse 17. God sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Do you believe it? Like deep in there somewhere? See, 16, we got that one, but 17. Come on, Pastor Doug, really? Because if there's heaven and hell, it seems like someone's condemning somebody, right? It just doesn't match up with our theology. God sent his son into the world not to judge the world. Don't you feel judged by God? You got to feel judged in church. I mean, we're really good at that around here, right? So if it's not to judge the world, what was it? But to save the world through himself, through his gift, through his sacrifice. Not to judge. Not to judge. Not to judge. But to save. It's hard to accept this. It's hard to believe that in our sinfulness, Jesus isn't interested in condemning us, like while we're sinning. Jesus is not interested in condemning you over your sin. But his desire was to suffer so that you could be saved. Do you know the difference between salvation and damnation? You probably come up with a pretty rough definition pretty quickly. Seems like they're polar opposites, right? But how they play out in the life of a Christian or in the life of a person of faith, if you're following along in your fill-ins, here's our difference. Salvation is all of the grace of God, and damnation is all of the will of mankind. You see, the whole thing of sin from beginning with Adam and Eve all the way to today in your in my life, sin is us trying to be God. Sin is us trying to be to take that place of God. And so salvation is a gift. It's God's grace because we all deserve damnation. Every one of us deserve it. Goodness. I mean, if someone just followed us around for a week or two, it would write down plenty of things that would be against God in one way or another. This last 2 weeks, I have been trying, if you were here a couple weeks ago, I talked about my driving. I have tried so hard to not speed and to put my seatbelt on and to use that little lever that makes things blink on my dash. Oh, yeah, my turn signal. It's a new thing for me. And so many of you, I want to thank you for texting me and telling me when you've seen me do something different than I'm supposed to be doing. Sending me photos of my Jeep and, you know, giving me encouragement in various ways. Yes. Yeah, we all fall short. Every single one of us falls short. Damnation is all of the will of mankind to do it our way. That's where damnation falls in. But God, He's about grace. Salvation is all of the grace of God. Damnation is all of the will of mankind. And I believe that this is the good news. That there is the grace of God that covers a multitude of sins. Amen? There has got to be. I don't have to earn my salvation. Because my salvation is not something that I can concoct or create. I can't make salvation. I can only receive it. That is good news for me. Because it's outside of me. And it comes from God. And so does yours. Ephesians 2:9 says this. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. If salvation is not a reward, what's a way we could replace the word reward with something we just learned today? Wage, right. It's not the wage. But Romans says the wages of sin is death. Yeah, that has a wage. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I need John 3:17 to remind me. Because if you serve a God today that hates you, if you serve a God today that is always disappointed in you, if you serve a God today that prefers you in hell, if you serve a God that condemns you, I want you to hear me as clearly as you can. That is not God. That is an imposter. That is Satan telling a lie to you to rob you of the joy and the hope and the gift of salvation that is available through Jesus Christ. Those lies, when believed by us, will keep us from the glory and the good news that God loves you. And I hear those lies as loudly as anybody does. And I have to remember that God loves me. I can put up all the reasons why God doesn't love me. I can put up all the things. This is why God doesn't love me, why He won't accept me, why I can't be His child, why I'll never be accepted. And it's lies. Because the truth is that God loves me. He didn't come to condemn me. He came to save me. I'm worth saving. And you're worth saving. Because it's my hope that you serve a God that cheers you on. That you serve a God that plans good things for you. That you serve a God that pursues you even when you reject Him. And that you serve a God that is willing to sacrifice His life so that you can live. It's my hope that you serve a God that you know loves you. God's profile picture is a picture of you and Him. We don't really carry wallets too much anymore, but if He had one, your picture's in it. You are the one that He thinks about. You are the one that He created. And He is wildly and madly in love with you because you are His special creation. You are the one that He loves.